endorsements. Let's get that second beer. And while we're gone on commercial.
Do you want, or Merrill, do you want to do a commercial?
Yeah, you tell me what commercial we're going to do. Where are we going? What commercial break are we going to?
You just pick something in front of you, and then you
we're going to be giving these out on our next commercial break and help you find a way.
Merrill does not have Crocs, so that's what we should. We should have Crocs sent. So I wear Crocs every week.
I got Hoka. I'm a big Hoka fan.
You do. You were golfing those other day.
These things are the best Hoka shoes. I'm telling you.
We should have Crocs for like our guests when they come.
Oh yes,
but
that would be amazing.
Yeah, so we don't have sponsorship. You know what?
Now, what beer are you going to do? Is it a completely different beer or the same? Okay.
Oh yeah. So, do you want any more Gator Bites? Or you good?
Yeah, I got a few more. Okay. I love them things. They're good.
Okay, well,
your boy dialed them up.
Don't fill your belly because I have some more surprises coming.
But wait, there's more. Bear.
They're pretty good, though, aren't they?
They are good.
Yeah, so, Spencer, you already got it. See, that's quick commercial break.
Listen, buddy.
We don't take long. We're not like all this stuff. So
yeah.
Packers are on the ball now.
Yeah. Oh, look.
Oh.
Oh, Evan's here already.
As if it's planned.
Evan's here already. Okay. Time for vegetables.
Oh, veggies.
Oh
my man. Someone went to the garden.
These look like peppers that look familiar, Mr. Evan.
They are very familiar from the garden.
Homegrown peppers.
So you have, I didn't know you had a garden out here.
You know why he doesn't know I have a garden? Because he hasn't watched the episodes.
Uh-huh.
If you watch the episodes, you'd know I have a garden.
I'll go on Angela about that because she gets me all the episodes.
So, okay. Evan, what do we have? What's number two? What do we have here?
These are jalapenos stuffed with duck sausage. Mixed with a little Boursin cheese and cheddar cheese on top. And then in the middle, they're banana peppers that are also stuffed with the same duck sausage, but a little bit of cilantro on top.
Wow.
And a little bit of Mexican cheese, call it that.
Oh my gosh.
Sheesh.
Oh, wait, look at this stuff.
Oh, look at the forks.
This is high class. This, guys.
Yeah, are we supposed to be fancy?
This is top shelf, baby. Here. Top shelf.
That you would like to ask myself or Mr. Merrill or even Spence?
Yeah, I can tell you about the times when I played flag football for my church.
Which one are you going with?
For my church.
We won.
Yes. I'm going to try
championship.
This is a jalapeno one, right?
I just grab with your
currently
fingers,
don't
man.
Have a question.
No question?
But
that's all right.
I will bring more down in about 10 minutes or so.
Hey, brother.
Possibly have a question by then.
Have it drummed up by then.
All right. Enjoy.
Thanks, thank you, sir.
Thank you. It's delicious. Well, I wonder how hot this is going to be.
It's all good. So I do need to say thank you.
Come.
There's a shirt I'm wearing. Can you see it, Spence?
Yep. I got you.
412.
Yeah, a little stand. Yeah.
The 412. Meat Strip pound. District Meats. Hey. That's got a little spice to it. That licked my finger and it's a little spicy. That was good though. 412 Strip District Meats. Thank you for supplying our unique meats.
Yeah.
Okay. There's some things we try not to say too often on the show, but
unique meats is one of them.
Unique meats. So, but yeah, thank you. I'm excited to try this. Was it good?
Delicious.
So it's,
I mean, you're allowed to say it's not good.
It's a duck sausage. In a pepper is what it was?
Yeah.
Got a little spice kick to it. Nice. Mm.
Well, when I think about a duck sausage, I think about a mimosa sour beer.
Oh, this is going to be good.
Not delicious?
That's what this is, yes. In front of you, my dear friend, is a mimosa. It's called Dominga. It's from New Belgium, out of Asheville, North Carolina. I think they also have a brewery in Fort Collins, Colorado. Thank you, sir. I was using my pants.
I know. I was doing it.
Asheville.
Trying
not to do that.
Yeah.
Okay. Mimosa drink.
Yeah. It's a Dominga blends an iconic wood-aged golden sour with sweet detoxifying juice. I like the way Merrill lives.
I like this one.
Yeah. Calamansi oranges.
Yeah.
And light wheat ale.
I was about to say, it's got a little orange in it.
Yeah. My man's palate's on point. Right. Is it sour?
Oh, hang on, let me do another one.
Oh, you got duck sauce on your chin.
Well, I got my mouth's burning so bad right now, I can't really tell.
You got duck sauce on your chin. Go on your chin.
Let's go to commercial break.
Cut a commercial.
What do you got there, Ben?
I like it though.
A little mimosa.
Yeah, it's definitely it's not sour.
No, I mean,
6%. It's not like sour like when we've done sours.
I figure nothing says A week of, yeah, that's actually pretty good. Does it feels like a mimosa?
It does. It
feels, nothing says like a exactly week of elk hunting, like a mimosa. Nothing sour says
elk hunting like mimosa.
Like a mimosa in a can.
In a can. Yeah, yeah, not bad.
It's, that's good though. Yeah, I like that. That's
how.
We,
so how?
Where's this from? Where are they from?
It says Asheville, North Carolina, but oh, okay, also I think they have something in Fort Collins, Colorado, New Belgium. How would you guys rate this 1 out of 10?
I'd give it a 9.
Yeah, 9.
It's what's. Well,
I'd give it a high 9, 9, 10. I might give it a Bo Derek 10.
He does.
There's a lot of people out there. Who's Bo Derek? Who's 10?
Probably. They're doing the Googles right now.
I could drink that all the time. I mean, excuse me. I could drink that like mowing the grass, sitting by the pool.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's light.
It's like super light. Yeah. What was the ABV?
6%.
Wow.
So it's relatively drinkable. Yeah, right. You're not.
I like that. Great job.
New Belgium.
Mimosa sour, not overly sour.
It's not
At all. That's very good. I like that a lot.
So out of 10, you're doing a. It's up
I mean,
there.
I don't really give 9s and 10s very often.
I know,
but I like it enough that I'll give it like an. I'll give it an 8.
Wow.
Yeah, 7.5, 8. I like that a lot.
Good for you.
She's got more competition than I do.
Merle doesn't know anything.
Merle's like, I like it right now. It's a 10.
It's a 10.
Which one of these is better? The
based on things I like, it's a 10.
The jalapeno bite. Oh, this one. The jalapeno is good though.
Yeah, how spicy is it?
No, actually, I mean, Merle's. Merle thinks it's real spicy.
But I'll be fine. Is that what you're saying?
You'll be fine. You're a man.
Be a man.
All right, Merle. So, they're very good. Do you like that?
Yeah, I loved them.
I don't know more about. So, as we're munching on this, do you like that, by the way?
Very good, man.
Very good. Well done.
Evan can't miss.
Yeah, I know. We would tell him to. We would say if it was no good. Before I take this bite, and you're not eating it here now. Real, just kind of go take us through quickly, like I said, growing up in little Idaho, and farm working on the farm, this, that, and the other. But you know, how you play all the sports growing up? Did you? You know, what was it look like playing sports in high school?
Well, probably didn't look any different than most, other than like hockey is not a big sport or lacrosse in the West in Idaho when I was a kid. You know, but we played basketball, baseball. I actually was, in fact, when we went to Benjamin's baseball game, I made the all-star team when I was 8 years old as a catcher because I could catch. So that's okay. Where I had an arm. So that's how I actually played with 9 and 10 year olds. Wow. I was only 8. And I made the all-star team as the catcher. And I was a shortstop. Basketball, I was really good in basketball until I got to high school, and I was one dimensional. I mean, I couldn't. Well, I was a shooter, mm-hmm. and I would dribble only with my right hand. Like you sent me to the left. Like I could call timeout.
They'd overplay you like whatever. Like this.
Yeah, and I'd be like, oh, timeout. I got to switch hands. So that's actually what when Bo, my son, started playing basketball, I forced him to. I'd go out. I said, listen. I'm going to go out and practice with you or play with you anytime you want me to. And every time you ask me to play with you, though, you got to give me 5 minutes that I'm going to have you work on your left hand. You just have to play with your left, shoot with your left, dribble with your left. And then my thought was, okay.
You know, and Bo's your son, right? Yeah, we talk about that. Bo's your son, yeah.
And I thought, you know, by the time he's a teenager, he'll be really good at it. Well, shoot. I think within like 2 years, Bo's already ambidextrous because like he writes with his left and he does some things with his left. I mean, he's one of the best players in the state of actually Kentucky. So North Carolina actually had him come down to their basketball camp when he was like 10. Yeah, my Bo is, I mean, skilled. But I learned as a kid, like nobody ever told me, hey, you might want to use your left hand. you're really good
at your right,
but you better work your left. And football was my love, but I was hurt all the time. I got hurt a lot. And like in high school, I only played 11, maybe 12 games in 3 years.
Oh, wow.
I hurt my sophomore year, all my junior year. I even got hurt at the end of my senior year. And I got one scholarship offer. And I was their second option. The first option had to not, I mean, he ended up going to Washington. So they gave me, they gave me the scholarship. Now, you remember, you probably remember him. Remember Dirk Cutter? He was head coach of Tampa Bay.
That's why I know.
B.A. goes and replaces Dirk.
Okay.
He was my high school coach.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Played for his dad in college.
And that was at?
Idaho State.
Is that Division I?
1AA.
1AA. What was your, what's the mascot? What's Idaho State? What?
Bengals.
Potatoes?
We're like potatoes. Like, okay, now another coach that you'll know, Marvin Lewis. So Marvin Lewis played at Idaho State. Marvin Lewis is from Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
So Marvin plays at Idaho State. When I was there, he was a GA. He was a linebacker GA.
Okay.
So Marvin Lewis and I became friends because you know when you're a player, you gravitate towards the GAs versus mm-hmm. the coaches, and he was, you know, so much like a player that he became a good friend. Then he was our linebacker coach in Pittsburgh when they brought him in. Bill, that was part.
You guys are.
When Bill came, listen, here's Bill's defensive staff. When Carr became the head coach, Marvin Lewis, Dom Capers, and Dick LeBeau.
It's not bad.
She's like, that's like.
That'll do.
Yeah. Bam. I like,
that's called being and a, that's called being a head coach that let your guys.
Well, yeah. Well, listen, that's when impressive. I learned. Here's the key about a head coach is if you'll tell me who his assistants will be, I'll tell you what his shot is.
Yeah, that's a good point.
You know, that's a big
So fact. You go to Idaho State.
Yeah, go to Idaho State.
And you, I mean, pretty much balled out. You were pretty good. 4 years, right? You played all four years there.
I started
you
as
set
a freshman.
Like, but you set a lot of records, didn't you? At the time, weren't you like the leading rusher or touchdown? I mean, you did some sort of, you held some record.
I had 44 records by the time I left.
Ladies and gentlemen.
I had two NCAA records. And one of them actually might still exist. And that was most receptions by a running back, which was almost 200.
Wow. Was it screens just out of the backfield? Did they actually put you out and do stuff?
No. Okay. See, that's not Ben being a comedian because you would think this was different. And if the Big Sky was the only conference in the entire country, everywhere, that ran pro style systems. Like okay. I ran, like we did empty. I played in the slot.
Okay.
We did motion. I mean, I played I back, split back, fullback.
That's awesome.
I did all of that in college. Anybody in the Big Sky did that. So like, here's the coaches that came from there. John Fox, you might remember him.
Yeah.
Andy Reid, Brian Billick. Dennis Erickson.
Really?
Dirk Cutter. I mean,
so that was the whole.
Massive amount of NFL.
Impact. NFL minor leagues.
Yeah. All in the Big Sky. That was in the 80s.
Yeah.
We were that's what helped me when I got to the NFL. Like running an option route versus man or zone. Like you get somebody from Oklahoma or Alabama or Florida, or they would like, what? Tim Worley, Georgia. Our first round draft pick, our third year. He'd never been in a 3-point stance. He didn't ever run a route. He didn't know what pass coverage was. Pass protection was. He was like, they call that. He's like, what? So like a lot of those are big time colleges.
Yeah, that's big
that
time.
Doesn't exist today, but back in the late 80s, none of those big schools knew anything about
doing that stuff.
Yeah.
Well, does that
help me?
They give you a advantage.
Yeah, help me big time.
So you play 4 years and then all of a sudden it's time for draft.
Yeah.
What do you, I mean, give me the 2 minute, the 60-second version of draft day. When'd you go? What happened? Did you think you were getting drafted? Where'd you think you were going to go? Okay. What did that look like?
So I go to the combine. Okay. I had the worst
combine. They had the combine back then?
Yeah. Thank you. No footage of that, but they had the combine at Indianapolis too, by the way. Okay. Now I'm glad they don't have footage because if they were to say who had the worst combine in the history of the combine, I would be in the top 10.
Really?
I get the flu. I get a flu 4 days before I'm supposed to go there. I lose 20 pounds.
No way.
I spend more time getting my doctor. So the NFL tells me, because I was on antibiotics and stuff, make sure you have your doctor's prescription and documentation of what you're taking, because the drug test that they could do could be misread.
Fail that, yeah.
Right. So I spent more time. So I get there. I'm sick as a dog. Vinny Testaverde is my roommate.
Yeah.
Vinny Testaverde is my roommate. I don't know if you remember this guy named Alonzo Highsmith. Alonzo Highsmith was out of Miami, and there's a guy named Roger Vick out of Texas A&M. They're the best fullbacks. They're considered one and two. I was behind Highsmith. Now, Highsmith was like a freak. He goes first round to the Houston Oilers. So we ended up playing against each other. I remember when you did these, they did all these kind of tests, the 40 and all that stuff, but did you do leg tests where they tested your hamstring and quad balance?
I think so. I don't remember all that.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Well, I remember because like he was first, right? Mm-hmm. And so like when he was doing it, like you could see smoke coming off the machine, right? It was like, he was like, you see his muscles. Like, I get in it and I go, you get one. Well, you might want to dial that down. that's how my combine started. I'm like, oh, this is terrible. And I told you I had almost had 100 receptions in 1 year, my junior year. Okay. Tried a lot of catches. I don't think I caught a ball when I was
nerves. No, just sick. That sickness.
You know what? I just felt. I felt so bad. I had never really been in an environment like that.
Yeah.
And you know, they used to, you know, say, turn, you turn and catch it. I turn, boom, hits me right in the face. Now I've done blurred vision. I turn, boom, hits me again. This is not a lie. I'm telling you, this is exactly what's happening in this combine.
Your draft stock is just flying.
Oh, yes, yes. God, can you see if this was on television? So I run my 40. Okay, now this, it isn't like today where it's up on the clock. So yeah. they had a bunch of guys down there timing them. I run my 40. And, you know, they don't tell anyone, but tells you your time. You kind of got to come back and ask for it. So I was like, sheepishly, because I knew it wasn't very good. I felt like I had lead weight in my pants. I was like, my feet were heavy. I'm like, I'm not a sprinter anyway.
Okay.
So I went up to this guy who was right for the Raiders. And I said, hey, I go, did you have my time for the 40? You can't make this up. He turns to me, he said, he goes, you don't want to know what your 40 is. He goes, here's what's going to happen to you. Somebody's going to draft you. You're going to back somebody up. They're going to get hurt. You're going to take their job and they're never going to get it back, which is exactly what happened.
Wow.
I remember I turned away. I'm like, that's the oddest thing.
He was complimenting you.
Right.
He knew something.
He goes, you don't want your 40. First of all, when he said that, I was like, yeah, okay. It's that bad. And he said, when he said that, I was like, I walked away. So now he's the Raiders. The reason I went up to him, because I was supposed to go to the Raiders in the fifth round. Okay. So, you know, after the combine, you probably had a pro day. People came back to you. Okay. So teams come back. So Washington comes back and works me out. The Green Bay Packers come and work me out. The Raiders came and worked me out in Washington, which I was kind of surprised, Washington. And then the Steelers come. Now, all of them worked me out, every one of them. And what they do is they call you the night before. They set up with the school of when we're going to meet. And I'd always get dressed and we'd go work out. Oh, the Denver Broncos came. The Denver Broncos scout told me, because he had me run the 40 on turf, grass, downwind, upwind. I mean,
he wanted to see everything.
Yeah. But I kept running the same 40.
Yeah.
And he goes, he's in the locker room. He goes, you know what? He goes, your 40's terrible. He goes, you're never going to play in the National Football
League. Your 40's terrible.
I was remember. That's why every time I played against Denver,
you want to? We'll get to that. We'll talk about that one. So yeah, playoff game. We'll talk about that.
So the Steelers call me.
Yeah,
the Steelers are coming in. I come in. I show up, and I go. I said, "Well, where's the scout?" And he goes, "Oh, he's down there watching film." So I was like, "Well, nobody really said, you know, gave me a time when we were going to the field." So I went in. He's watching film, and I was like, "I can't remember his name. I wish I could because the guy was phenomenal." He goes, "Oh, Mero, how you doing?" He goes, "So you play basketball?" I thought it was a trick question, right? I'm like, I like basketball. I was probably better at basketball than I was football. He goes, well, I'll tell you what, in Pittsburgh, they actually have a basketball team that you can play on. So there was a basketball team that played and had
circles. I've done that.
Did you? Okay. Uh-huh. So he goes, you make a lot of money in the offseason and stuff. And
I say a lot of money, but yeah.
Well, back in then, but in our days.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, not your days. I get that. I'm sorry, Ben. Okay. Not in your days, but in our days, you make a lot of money. So. I was like, you want me to work out? And he's like, I don't need you to work out. He goes, I got everything I need right here. He goes, I just wanted to meet you. He goes, I like what I see. And so I leave. So I'm like, I'm going out. I'm like, okay, of all the teams that have been here, I know the one team ain't drafted me, Pittsburgh Steelers. They're more interested in my basketball than they're interested in my football. He didn't even want to work me out again.
Really?
Yeah. I'm like, oh, this guy, I know the Steelers won't draft me. So draft day comes. This is a 3-day event. I was projected.
The draft was different then. How many rounds were there?
12.
12 rounds then. Yeah. Okay. So a lot more players get drafted.
Yep. So there's 3 days of it. And I was supposed to go on the first day. Because I think the first day was maybe 1-4, 1-5. And a lot of people thought that I would go the first day. So I don't go on the first day. Don't go on the second day. And so it means something to me because my mom had died and she had been died for about a year.
Okay.
And so what I did is I, on the day three, I remember I went into their bedroom and I, on her side of the bed, I just said a prayer. So, and you know, I learned a lot about praying a long time ago. Like there's wistful praying, like, you know, you always, you pray for things to work out and fix things. And it doesn't work like that. You know, prayer has to be a genuine, faithful approach to what I know for me anyway,
that's right.
To make it most efficient. So basically I got knelt on her side of the bed and I was just, I said, I've done everything I can. I've done my part. If I'm to play in the National Football League, help me. Give me to a team where I have a shot.
Give me a chance.
If I'm not supposed to, then help me refigure where I go next. I'll never forget. I got up off my knees and I was like, I was at peace. I didn't feel like I was going to get drafted, but I wasn't worried. I was not worried what I was going to go do.
Yeah.
I remember I was playing basketball.
It's a great feeling, isn't it?
Yeah. Nice. My dad calls. And my dad goes, hey, phone, you're on the phone. I ain't even thinking about the draft at that time. I go, hello. He goes, Merrill. It was the scout that was.
That's about basketball.
In basketball. He goes, Merrill, we're going to pick you. He goes, to be a Pittsburgh Steeler. He goes, I want you to know something. He goes, you can make this football team. He goes, we need players like you. He goes, I'm going to put you on the phone with. I don't know who I put on. He put me on the phone with next, and I was like, holy cow. And I became a Pittsburgh Steeler.
What round?
10th.
10th round.
10th round. Rod Woodson was our first round pick.
Not a bad player.
Yeah. Hall of Famer. Yeah.
Not a bad player.
Woody's not a bad player. You know, that draft was really, Greg Lloyd was in that draft.
Not a bad player.
Hardy Nickerson was in that draft.
Not a bad player.
Really, you may not remember Thomas Everett. Thomas Everett won a Super Bowl with the Dallas Cowboys. Thomas Everett was, from Baylor, a bad dude. He's our safety. He was, I mean, I'm telling you, he was a, you ask around about Thomas Everett. Thomas Everett was Delton Hall, second round pick, was defensive player of the year, rookie of the year.
Wow.
Delton Hall, second round pick. God, who else was in that draft? We had like 7-8 guys that made the team that year.
Wow.
Right,
that's so awesome. Well, we'll get into that. I'm going to hear about your first years and coaching and stuff like that. But we have one last.
Dude,
we have one more.
We got one.
All right. Is this in the? Where's the best way for people to see this?
Right there.
Right
there. You can hold it.
Some things just look too good to eat. That looks too good to eat.
Evan, yes. Talk to us.
That
what is it?
Looks right, unbelievable. It's
a ground bison slider.
Whoa!
With bison. Wild boar bacon and caramelized onions.
Come on.
Wild boar.
What are we doing?
We're going to eat it.
Whoa.
Enjoy.
That looks unbelievable.
Evan, thank you, brother.
And how you make these buns so soft, man? Those are unbelievable.
Another thing we'll never say again. Don't talk about soft buns on our show, please.
This is phenomenal. Man, we got to take a 20-minute break for this.
Yeah, we're 20-minute break.
Oh, wow.
That good.
This is worth it, boys.
Oh my gosh.
Welcome to the show.
Oh my gosh.
We're
going to do this every Sunday?
Yeah, I think it was a little. Every Sunday, yeah.
We're going to do this every Sunday.
Mel's our reoccurring guest.
Wow. But Ben's on Sunday, and I want him to redo his wedding like every year. The greatest party ever.
Wow.
Jeez.
This is unbelievable. Yeah, your boy's a home run here. Holy cow.
That's so good. That is
sorry, everybody at home.
No kidding.
Just watch us eat delicious food. I hope y'all eating something good, man. If you're watching this at around down, I hope y'all eating something good.
Mm-hmm.
We don't mean to rub it in.
How about Trey Lance going down?
Yeah. So he's gonna keep his train rolling. You get drafted. Chuck Knoll's the coach.
Yeah.
What year was the draft? What you got drafted?
87. 1987.
87. So obviously at that point already won 4 Super Bowls.
Yep.
So it's kind of legendary place, right?
Yep.
Chuck Knoll, legendary coach.
Yep.
Right. Give the fans as you're going, as you take a bite and think about this as we talk, like what was it like to play for Chuck Knoll? Like people want to know, like, was he the same guy they saw on TV, the same guy on the sidelines? Was he that guy every day? Was he different? Was, you know, obviously people, I think he's, I didn't know him, obviously, but I think he was a great motivator, it seemed like, and got guys to play for him, right? Yeah. Was he well-liked? I mean, just give me a little bit on Chuck for the fans. Obviously, he's legendary, so.
Well, he's the greatest man I've ever met.
Wow.
He's the greatest man, bar none. And I think what he was a phenomenal leader, and he was a phenomenal teacher. Mm-hmm. And I think any good coach has to have those two tools in their tool belt to be a really good coach. You got to be a great teacher. You got to be a great leader. He had great integrity. Mm-hmm. People may not know this about him, and you know, I've always believed that we all get exposed for integrity. I'd rather get exposed for having it than not having it, but you get exposed for it. Mm-hmm. I thought his integrity was impeccable. Now, most people don't know this. We're going to Canada. We're going to play the American Bowl, playing the New England Patriots. We're going up to tour. We're going up to for the week, but we're all going up in the summertime to go promote it. Mm-hmm. It's me. I was one of the players, and Chuck was going, and then Joe Gordon. Joe Gordon, who kind of was the PR guy and Chuck's right-hand man, did all of Chuck's stuff, managed all of, you know, the Steeler stuff with him, you know, all of his requests. Mm-hmm. Now, Chuck had he did agree to do one promotion for his buddy. I think it was a law firm, and they put him up on a billboard. And when he's driving to practice, he saw it up on the billboard, and he called him up. He goes, "Get that down. Mm-hmm. We are done. We're not doing anything." And he said, "Don't ever bring me another promotion. This is not for me. It's for the players." Okay, now. Wow. Hershey candy bar. Okay, now this, you got to have perspective here. Okay, this is in the 70s. Hershey candy bar offers Chuck Knoll $150,000. All they're going to do is put his name on the back of the Hershey candy bar. He doesn't have to say anything. Mm. His signature is going there. Now, that'd be like $1.5 million in today's money. Yeah. Okay. They're just going to put your autograph on something. I can tell you a lot of people that could justify going, that's okay. He turned down over $4 million of opportunities like that off of the field. Wow. Because once he had made that decision, that's not for me, that's for the players, and that's not my role. He stayed by it. Wow. He was like that as a leader. He was like that as a coach. I thought he was one of the very best at figuring out if you were going to be able to handle the storm before he put you in the storm. Mm-hmm. And he did it in practice. You know, like the, you know, a lot of people, you know. Well, this is still like some of Terry Bradshaw and his big issues. Like Chuck doesn't come to the sideline and treat Terry Bradshaw different than he treated Joe Green.
Yeah.
Or, well, I'll sum it up like this. Mike Ditka is a dear friend of mine. I worked with coach for 10 years. This is Mike Ditka telling me this. We were eating dinner one night. He's like, because we used to always have Saturday night dinners before we did our shows on Sunday. He goes, "Hit Mount Rushmore, Chuck Knoll." He goes, "He's one of the greatest, maybe the greatest." And here's why. How he managed to hold all that talent together, mm-hmm, and win 4 Super Bowls. He goes, "People will never know how hard that is." He goes, "I had the same talent. I won one." Wow. This is him. When he's telling me, I'm like, that's one thing I love about Coach Dick. He is just raw and honest. Wow. He's like, "I had that type of talent. I could only pull one off." Do you know how hard it is to hold that much talent together? Mm-hmm. I don't guarantee to you this. You ever have Joe Green on here? You listen to Joe talk about Chuck? No. He's not the player nor the man. And see, that's where I really want to go. I'm not the man. I'm not the person I am without him. He was instrumental in my life. And football is important, but it's not where he still resonates. He still resonates with me today with the things he taught me.
And do you think most guys felt that same way? I mean, I know you said Joe Green.
I think that awesome. most all of those players, every one of them, would feel like that about Chuck.
That's really cool.
He was like that.
That's pretty cool. That's awesome.
Yeah. I'm 21 years old when I, you know, and I remember thinking, I was in a meeting, one of the first meetings, and I remember thinking, you will never be in front of another man like that. Wow. So you better listen. You better listen. You know, I remember he gave me my first game ball. It was the first, played the Denver Broncos, gave me a game ball. And he basically, Chuck is just, it was very direct, straightforward, and honest. I'd had a big game. We'd been struggling in our running game. We were confused with we couldn't get any two backs to be consistent. And I had, I think I had 100 yards rushing against the Denver Broncos, but I didn't start. They put me out there in the, like, the halfway through the first quarter. I had a really big game. We win. Gives me the game ball. So it gives me my very first start in New York. I'm not gonna tell you all of the details. There's a lot of details to it, though. I was a personal protector on the punt team. I called the wrong protection because we had switched our coverage because we were struggling. I get a punt block. Let me back up. We're up 20-7. Okay, we get a punt block. Now it's 20-14. They kick the ball off to us. It's a third down. I run an F option. And, you know, this is the sun in the Meadowlands was the way it was, like, right in my eyes. And the ball kind of hits my hands. But I never caught the ball. The ball, I mean, in fact, when I didn't catch it, I was so ticked. I was like, gosh dang, I mean, you can't drop a ball like that. It wasn't a hard ball. Just the sun was in my eyes. We had just released Robin Cole, who was a linebacker here for a long time. Great, phenomenal guy, great linebacker. Jets picked him up. He scoops the ball up because he's starting for them now. And he's running down the side. And I'm like, okay, it's already bad enough I dropped it. Don't make it look like it's a fumble. I see the official doing this. They rule it a catch and fumble. And he gets a touchdown. Now it's 21-20. We lose the game.
Jeez.
We're in the locker room. Chuck Noll goes, well, if Merrill knows how to count and catch football, we win the game. Get shower. Let's get out of here. I mean, he basically said just like that. So we're in New York, right? So we got. What do you think happens? I got every camera and every microphone. I mean, in my face, you're going, wow, how did you mess up the pass protection? I had to say, well, I called the right, and I counted out, but we changed it to left. So I look like an idiot. I sound like an idiot.
That's the greatest
post-game. So the news. Every one of them, KDK, WTAE, WPXI, everyone, they're taking polls. Not when, then not if I'm going to get cut, when I'm going to get cut.
Oh, jeez.
here's what ultimately happens. I remember Chuck Noll never said another word about it. He never said another word about it. Cool. In fact, Chuck was the guy who made captains. No, we didn't vote on captains. So Tunch Hilken, I don't know Tunch. Mm-hmm. Tunch is a really dear friend of mine. Tunch got hurt. We got put him on IR, and Chuck made me the captain. Mm. Now, I don't realize the magnitude of this till John Kolb used to stretch me before we got ready to go play. And he's like, do you know how significant you being a captain is? Wow. And I was like, no. Because I really did. He goes,
nope.
One guy makes that decision here. And he's been doing it since he got here.
Wow.
He doesn't make anybody captain. So a lot of people like Joe Green, Mel Blunt, Terry Bradshaw, those guys have been captains on this football team.
That's cool.
I did. I was like, I'm telling you, I've never had a greater honor.
That's awesome.
When that happened.
That's really cool.
Yeah. He was a great man, though. Great man.
Go halfsies on that?
No, I'm good.
You want half of that, Merrill?
No. Are you kidding? Man finishes mine.
All right. I'll do it.
So we're gonna you wanna grab another one, or what do you wanna do?
Yeah, I got a third one right here.
Okay, because then we'll as Merrill's taking this bite. I think the next obvious transition, because then we can start getting into like more recent stuff. Is you know, we had the next then we kind of have something in common that comes next, and that's transition from Bill Cowher. Huh? And so, you know, we can obviously we'll be able to probably tell some stories together on that one. But I'd love to just hear about that. The transition a little bit is where Spence does his thing, but we can talk transition a little bit into Coach Cowher, and then some similarities that we have, and then that'll lead us right to this game, and then we can start talking some hunting too.
Cool,
yeah, absolutely that.
Man, that freaking thing is unbelievable.
Isn't it good?
Oh my god! Unbelievable.
Yeah, so I went with another super manly. Oh, dude, it's pink. I didn't know it was pink.
Merrill, this one's for you.
Pink.
Yeah, dog. So this is a cider. The first cider, dude.
A beer cider? Can you have that?
It's called. It's from Wind Ridge Cider Company from York, PA.
Oh, no, it's a local. Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah, my wife's from York. Yeah, it's called Red, White, and Blueberry.
Oh, this is right up your alley.
Yes.
This is right up your alley. Merrill, a little fruity.
It might be.
America. The ABV is 6.
Okay.
And the only bio we have is
what's the ABV?
It's the alcohol content.
Oh, I got you.
Yeah.
The higher, the more, the stronger it is.
And it's seasonal, obviously, because it's made with apples. But let us know what you think, Merrill.
Merrill, he's, I haven't done porn, he's already. He doesn't sniff it. He doesn't tell us anything. He just goes.
Hmm. Actually, this is interesting.
Yeah?
Interesting.
Are you a cider guy? Do you like ciders?
I like apples, so I like, actually, I like that. That doesn't even actually remind me of beer.
Yeah. So have you had a cider before in the past? Like a,
yes.
Like a hard cider? How does this compare to the ones that you have?
I love that.
Actually. That's really good. That's good. I like that a lot.
There's not an aftertaste to it. It's really nice.
How would you rank it? One of the.
I'm gonna throw a 9 on it.
Oh, really? That's high praise. A 9.
I like that.
What are you thinking?
Windridge, well done. York, the home of the York Peppermint Patty, I believe.
Oh, that's right.
And I think I'm pretty sure Bruce BA is from York.
Really?
I think, or is like, he? I think he's either born there, lived. The only reason I'm saying that is because I feel like he's told stories of how if the wind's blowing right, you can smell like the chocolate. Has Ken's ever talked about that?
Yeah, so in Hershey, but where she's from, it's a paper factory and it smells like trash.
Oh, yeah. No, that's the way different. He would say, I could have swore he's told me that story before, where like the wind blowing in a certain direction, you can smell like York peppermint patties in the air. Like that's it's in the air.
Dang.
But yeah, well done, Windridge Cider Company. This is very nice.
Yeah, that was actually
cool. Yeah, the color threw me off. Sorry about that, fellas.
No problem.
Oh, well done.
Yeah. Well, thank you, sir.
Yeah, no problem. No, that's fair. I would.
I would drink this
For sure. This is all of them have been really nice tonight.
Actually, I have.
This is a nice one. When you think ciders, Meryl, you think like fall, like fires, like flannels, things like that. But I don't think that with this.
No. I feel like, I feel like I would definitely enjoy you could that. Yeah.
Around a fire.
Yeah, with the 3 F's, the fall, flannel, and fires. Fire?
Yeah, you could.
Fall, flannel, and fires.
It's not what I expected.
But it could be a summer. It could be a summer. Like, maybe it's a 4th of July joint, like, because it's red, white, and blueberry.
Berry?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I like that. That's well done.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I like it.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, so the Chuck Noll stores, I think, are really cool to hear. Yeah. And so,
well, he's legendary.
Yeah,
he's the guy.
I like sharing with you because there's a lot of people who, Chuck's Pat been gone, Kyle, for
A second. All we have are clips and memories, so to hear it like straight from the source is super rad.
So to share stories, I'm always for that for younger generations to hear about him, know about him, because really, the chief and the chief was Mr. Rooney.
Art Rooney, Art Rooney's
dad.
Art Rooney's interview.
So the chief, and then there's Mr. Rooney. That was his dad. Mm. And then Art, Mr. Rooney was Art's
very
dad.
Very confusing for those.
Because there's a lot of Dans, and they're all Rooney's. A lot Rooney's, of Dans and
Art, it's a Pittsburgh thing.
So, when I got drafted, the chief was still alive. So I got to know the chief.
I
played for the chief. So I played for the chief and Mr. Rooney.
That's pretty cool. I just don't know this. I feel bad. Like, did Chuck retire at some point, or he get fired? Like, he retired, right?
Yep.
After he went to get fired.
He
resigned, and then Bill came in, Coach Cower.
Yeah, yeah.
Was it a lot different? Obviously, they're two different people, but Chuck had been here for how long at the time? I mean,
this is 20 years, 21 years.
And all of a sudden, a new guy comes in. So I can't imagine that Bill was the most popular guy on the block at first.
I'll tell you this, Ben. I did on a Football Life. They had me talk about it, and I was just really honest with it. Is like, we as players were like, I'd hate to be the next guy.
Yeah.
We all did.
Never want to be the guy that replaces the guy.
Yes.
I'm like, the guy that replaced the guy that replaced the guy.
Yes. Too deep. And I'm telling you, there's a few things Bill did really, really well. First thing that he did is he met with all of us individually before we had our team meeting. I thought that was really important. He knew about us too. He'd done some research and work.
He was going to put work in.
Yep. And then we got in our very first meeting. I'll never forget our very first meeting. He basically vowed that, I'm going to take care of you. Now listen, we come from short yardage, goal line. I mean, live plays all week long.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, we're going to get you ready. We're not going to beat everybody up here. Because I know you guys, a lot of people think Bill was had physical practices, which we did have physical, but not like.
But he took care of you.
But not like That's we cool. were. But he said, hey, listen.
Were Chuck practices hard?
Bro, okay. we stand in the showers and go, okay, guys, we're 3-0 this week. we just got to win the one on Sunday and we'll be 4-0. Beats the tar, man. But I remember he, you know, and he said all the things like you would want, you know, because I've also always believed, even when we practiced like that, I was like, we really shouldn't. You don't have to practice this game like that to get ready to play. Well. You really don't. Which, you know, I mean, it's being shown that today. But anyway, he vowed his commitment to protecting us, covering us. I got your back. And he goes, you take care of me on Sunday.
I'll take care of you during the week, yeah.
And so now we all left with, okay, that's what he says. Mm-hmm. Is he really going to do it? And I'm going to tell you what, to the letter of the law. Like, he lived up to all of it. He always had everybody's back. I mean, I don't know if I was telling you about, he went in to fight for me.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a classical story.
And he never did it again because Mr. Reese said, you don't tell me how to spend my money. And he goes, I learned a valuable lesson, Merrill.
Yeah.
But I was like, you know, Bill, just to go in and fight for me. I mean, as much as I love, I mean, Chuck was not going to do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he just, and I like respected that. I loved that about him. And I remember our very first game, we played the Houston Oilers. And Houston Oilers are supposed to win the entire thing. They're loaded. Like, mm-hmm. They got first rounders. The defense was like all first rounders. They're Warren Moon. They had the run and shoot. I mean, they were supposed to win every year.
Okay.
But this is their year. So we got to start in Houston. And I remember Bill told us, we're going to run a fake punt. If the scenario is like this, we're on about the 50, we're on the fake punt. And we're like, all right, yeah. Okay. Everybody said run a fake punt. And then we get to a fake punt and nobody runs a fake punt because nobody
wants. It's a little scary.
Yeah, exactly right. Exactly right. And when he called that fake punt, I remember Warren Williams, he was like, where was it, right at the 50? I think he took it all the way about to the 2. We punched it in. And we went on. We had the best record in football. We were 11-5. Yeah. And that was the year that Buffalo actually came in and beat us after they came from behind. The greatest comeback in wild card history against them.
That's
the year without Jim Kelly.
Yeah,
Hostetler. Hey, Preen,
Jeff Hostetler.
It was
not Jeff Hostetler.
Oh God, the head coach with the Colts right now. Gosh darn it,
Frank Reich.
Frank Reich came.
Yeah.
We had, anyway, we let him down. But, I mean, he won us over.
Yeah.
He won us over. And
they talk about players, coaches. And I think a lot of times people think players, coaches are the ones that just like.
You can run them over.
Yeah. They're like, not Bill. Bill wasn't that way. Coach was awesome. Like, I really enjoyed playing for him. Like, and I came in, he was obviously a veteran coach. I was a young guy. And he's many times has said, I could have treated you like the greatest thing, or I could have treated you the way I did and treated you like a rookie. That's the way I treated you.
Yeah, I'll be interested how he treated you because, you know.
Hard. He treated young guys like myself, like a young guy. It was and you respect. Looking back, I probably didn't like it at the time, but I respected it. I respect it now and understood what he was doing. And, you know, it was kind of those things like, you know, my door is always open, but you never wanted to go because you didn't want to deal with him.
Yeah, you know what's funny about that, though? I can't tell you how many times I went into his office.
Yeah, but as a young guy, I didn't feel
okay. Because I can see that too.
You might knock, and he,
right? And you're like,
you know what? Wrong door, coach. My fault. I'm good.
Never mind, coach. Go over
here. That was such a good Bill Cowher face, though, bro. That was like a solid impression.
Oh man,
that's a pretty good job, bro.
Well, that's good. That's
interesting that it's interesting that you felt like that about Bill, and I could see that because, see, Bill could be somewhat intimidating if you're a younger player.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'd been in the league. This was going on my 6th year, so I mean, I wasn't a young player, mm-hmm. I could argue Bill wasn't much older than I am. I mean, technically, because he was a really young coach. I remember he was 35 when they hired him, which, you know, was extremely young. But I went. I've been in Bill's. I probably spent more time in Bill's office than I did Dick Hoke's, our running back coach, because I was in there talking to him about different scenarios of our team.
Yeah.
And you know, this is a credit to the Rooneys. Think about it, they hired Chuck Knoll, never had any head coaching experience. Bill Cowher, no head coaching experience, and Mike Tomlin, no head coaching experience. Here's their philosophy. Okay,
wow.
I start with Mr. Rooney. When he was the one that had to make the hire.
Yeah.
I remember I went in to talk to him about Joe Green being our next head coach, because Joe is our defensive line coach, and Joe had asked me as a captain if I would go on his behalf in front of Mr. Rooney to tell him how much we would like Joe to be head coach. I love Joe. When Joe, when I first got in the league, Joe was come walking in the locker room and just his presence. I'm telling you, the way that he helped me in so many ways, even though he's a defensive line coach.
Sure.
And I'm like, absolutely, Joe. Like, I'd fight for Joe. Like, I wouldn't have a problem with Joe. I go in. I remember I was, Mr. Rooney had an open door policy. I made an appointment, came in. I told him what I was there for. He doesn't say anything. He gets up, goes and shuts the door. I was like, uh-oh. Oh, that ain't good. He came back and sat down. And he just said, hey, Merrill, I'm not going to do that to Joe. He goes, Joe will always be compared to Chuck.
Yeah.
I go, everybody's going to get compared to Chuck, but not like Joe will get compared to Chuck. And he's like, to do what Chuck, just to match it.
Yeah.
And he just, and you know, actually, as he explained to me what his philosophy was and his thought process was, I got it. I was like, I mean, I felt bad,
sure,
but I understood. He's like, where's what we're going to do? We're going to start over. He goes, we're cleaning the house. We're going to start over. And so then they hired Bill. Well, now when Bill leaves, I would be ESPN, and everybody's talking about all of these possibility candidates on his staff. I'm like, if I was his staff, I'm running.
Yeah.
Because if they do what they did on the last time, which
they did.
They're going to start over. Okay. Mm. So they hire Mike Tomlin. Now I'm talking to Art. Art said something I'll never forget, how this, the evolution of how the Rooneys did things and how they look at things. He's like, you know, Merrill, when you hire a head coach who's never been a head coach, they don't know how to be a head coach. Yeah. You got to help them be a head coach. And when they said that, because so think about all the coaches that last about a year or two in an organization and they're gone. Yeah. Either experience or no experience, but especially the ones with no experience, they're ousted. Mm. He goes like, we're going to make mistakes. We're going to work through them. Okay, Bill Cowher, one of his, I guarantee you this would be something he would talk about as a coach, as he's learned something as head coach. When he was a head coach, I remember his first rule in his first meeting, I'll never forget, he's like, you will never lose your job to an injury, ever.
Yeah, I've heard him say that.
So, our quarterback, Neil O'Donnell, wins the competition between Bubby. Neil gets hurt, I think, week 8. Bubby plays, the next 6 weeks that Bubby plays, or 7 weeks it was, because he takes us all the way to the end of the season. His 6 weeks were better than any of the 6 weeks that Neil could just select out of those 8.
Yeah.
That's how hot he was and how great we were playing offensively.
Yeah.
So going into that Buffalo game here, because no Jim Kelly, we're off a week. Neil hadn't played for almost 2 months, and they started him. And I'm telling you, our offense, because our quarterback was just – he was – and listen, Neil O'Donnell is one of my dear friends. I thought it was a bad – but so his rule – and we as players are like, why not – don't start. No.
Right.
Bobby's like killing it, man. We got it. Like, we're smoking Joe Frazier out there with him right now. When Neil came in, we would just, because we were off beat, we were just a step behind. I could tell you, play after play against Buffalo, our quarterback was just, he just wasn't in sync.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's hard to do. Like, if you haven't played for 2 months, I don't care how great you are.
So hard.
I don't care how hard good you are. It's hard.
Yeah.
And anyway, that's one reason we ended up losing. That Buffalo game, actually. But so what I'm getting to the point with Bill, we met with him on that. We told him about, he changed that rule.
Yeah.
And so, you know, coaches are going, Mike Tom, I guarantee he's not the same he was.
Sure. Yeah,
now that he is, you know, he came in, he's had to, he's evolved. Chuck evolved. I mean, and the Rooneys let you do that. They're patient enough with you. They go, as long as you got the right guy,
that's great.
They go work with them.
Yeah.
Wow.
And that's what they've done for like 60 years. 3 coaches.
It's amazing how they've done it. All right, Evan. Last one. You ready for one more?
I can't. Is this?
All right. And again, thanks to 412 Strip District Meats for this last.
Wow. Oh, that looked fancy. What do we have? Evan, educate us on this.
Some grilled elk medallions. With blackberry and bourbon.
Hey, we haven't got our elk yet. How'd you do that? How'd you get that out?
Foreshadowing.
Did we get an elk somewhere? We just don't know.
Yeah.
It's got a little bit of lime in the reduction as well to kind of break up the sweetness. So,
dude, this is unbelievable.
Enjoy.
Did you kill the whole elk, Evan?
Oh,
did
my
you,
gosh. Did you get this elk? This is unbelievable. Oh, yeah. Perfect. Oh, my gosh.
Thank you, Mr. Evan.
Delicious. Oh, come on. Stop it.
I'm getting this other plate over here.
Like I said, so we do this every Sunday, right?
Okay. I do.
Yeah,
I'm always.
He's always here eating something.
I'm like Uncle Jesse in Full House.
Wow, it looks amazing.
All right, Ben, review on the elk. What are we thinking?
I don't know if I've ever had it. I think it might be the first time I had elk. Maybe.
Really?
I can't remember.
Oh, man, that's good.
First time I had elk was in Canada. And I didn't know how to pay for it because it was in a market, but I didn't have Canadian currency. I didn't have like the, so they upcharged me. Like, yeah, we'll take American currency, but it's $57 for this.
Wow. Like, oh, it's the Wagyu version.
Yeah, apparently. I was like, oh, okay, well, hey, here's $57.
Enjoy it.
Okay.
Mom, delicious.
I need to hear one story. All right. I want to hear how you almost or did die. Can you tell that story?
Yeah. It's probably the
crazy.
What's the one thing about my career that's misunderstood? Everybody goes, oh, it doesn't matter where I go. Your career ended because of a concussion. I'm like, no, it actually didn't. And because if that would have happened on the Monday night game when it happened, I would never played for another 5 or 6 weeks that I had in Kansas City. So let's go to the Kansas City game. You remember Derek Thomas?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so Derek Thomas actually caught me right in the side, right in the chin. And I'd never had what I had envisioned of. Now, listen, you don't have to lose consciousness to have a concussion too, which is a big misunderstanding about head trauma. You have some most severe head trauma, which like I had, and never lost consciousness. Mm-hmm. However, that being said, I literally felt like I was in an earthquake. Like I was laying there on the ground, and I couldn't get up. And in fact, Tim Worley that I'd mentioned about, he got released in Pittsburgh, and Chicago picked him up. So he was playing in Chicago with me at the time. And I'll never forget it because I just saw him at training camp here about a month ago. He came over to help me get up, and he was like, oh, man. I mean, that's the only thing I remember him saying, going, oh, man. Because when he looked at me, I guess the way I looked, the way my face looked, he was like, oh, man. Then he goes back to the huddle. He goes, I couldn't believe you're standing in the huddle with me right after that. So I'd gotten back to the huddle. I finished the play, and now I'm going to fast forward and I'll back up. So I watched the tape like about 4 or 5 days later when I got into the facility, and I ran all the right play. I did the right thing. I looked like I was smashed. I was like wobbling. I was really slow. I mean, it did look bad, but I went to the sideline and they, I told the doctor, I don't remember any of this. They just said, I went up and said, hey, well, I got hit in the head. I don't feel good. They asked me where I was. I said, I was in Tampa. And they're like, how do you know that? And I go, I can hear the ocean. You know,
there's no ocean.
You know, not in Kansas City, because I'm in Kansas City. So anyway, they take me to get an MRI, get all the scans so I can fly home. So I fly home. I was so bad that in the doctor reports, like they were talking to me about, they'd come up and tell me a few things because there's a retrograde and anterograde. Your brain, like, what's your name? Go, that's something you've repeated all the time. But if I give you some new information, that's anterograde. It's new information. And that's how, I mean, the brain's very complicated, but it's a way for them to identify, you know, am I gathering stuff and remembering stuff? And I still really was struggling with all that stuff. Even the next day.
A brief context, you've studied this extensively for those who might not be aware.
Yeah, prior to this, I hadn't. I'm just going along with the ride. But now, unfortunately, it's kind of turned into my life's work, unfortunately. Or fortunately. I'll look at it as fortunately. But I get to the Bears facility. Now, this is what happens in 1994. Keep in mind, the Pittsburgh Steelers start doing cognitive testing for their players in 1991, which I was part of that group. So I already had a baseline. I had it with Pittsburgh. The Chicago Bears didn't even have a neurologist on staff. They didn't have a neurosurgeon. The guy saw a family practitioner. So the family practitioner that saw me, who had described my deficiencies of being severe, ends up clearing me to return back to play over the phone 5 days later by asking me just one question: how do you feel? Now, that's 1994. That's still archaic, even in 1994. Now, I don't know it's archaic. You know, I just want to play.
Sure.
Okay. Do I have a headache? Sure. What I did realize is, like, you know, when you put a game plan in, like 80% is what you do all the time. I mean, there's 20% of new stuff. All our new stuff for every opponent, like, I would struggle with that. Well, I didn't know that was a symptom either. You know, I didn't know to share these things, but. So I'm playing under those circumstances, you know. I'm just not. I remember one day in walkthrough, they called the play, was one of the new plays we put in. That's why we're doing the walkthrough for all the new stuff. And I remember thinking, I don't know what I'm doing. This is the first time ever. I've been league almost 10 years. I'm like, I've never made a mistake. And I'm like, what do I do? So in walkthrough, I thought I could fake it, you know. So I'll start moving in a certain direction, and then I'll go right out of go. Well, I'll move the wrong way. Yep. And they're like, Mo, what are you doing? I'm like, coach, of course I'm over here. Of course I don't. Anyway. So we get to the Buffalo game. The Bills are a big part of this. they come into Soldier Field, and I take a very similar I blocked a guy. So the other one, I caught the ball, spun, and they tackled me. The next play, I block a guy, and I block him so well that he lands on my head. The way I cut him, his whole torso lands right on my head. In fact, it bent my face mask, cut my chin open. I rolled over. I went back to the huddle, did my play. Don't remember doing it. I come to the sideline. They knew my chin was bleeding. And they didn't give me a new face mask, so they're putting a new face mask on, stowing me up, and that's when they were asking me questions, and I wasn't responding to them, so they took me to the locker room. Now, this is the only thing I remember in the locker room. One of our linebackers, in fact, we got him from Dallas that year, and he was actually in Pittsburgh with me 1 year before he went to Dallas. He was sitting on a training table right directly across from me, and I was sitting up like this. We were looking at each other, and I remember him going, "Are you all right?" And I just, as soon as he said that, I remember thinking, no, I'm not. And that's, so I fell off the table and went into cardiac arrest. And so as they started to resuscitate me and start working on me, actually, I started breathing again. And I actually walked to the ambulance. So they got me to the ambulance. And they took me to the emergency room. And I was there for a little over 2 days.
Wow.
On intensive care. So now when I'm done... I go back to Pittsburgh, do my baseline. And this just takes about 2 weeks to get there. Well, actually, it says they send me to a doctor actually in Chicago. That guy was like, take the rest of the year off and come back next year. And honestly, nothing made sense to me. Like when they got there, they were asking me stuff. I didn't know anything. I couldn't remember. I remember my daughter was there. I couldn't remember. My Marty was there. My brother.
Yeah.
I couldn't remember either one of them. There was just... So my career ends because of that. And
wow.
Now I was literally on a couch doing nothing, is depressed and had no purpose. I had lost every aspect. I was as dark and a days as I've ever experienced other than my diagnosis with cancer where, I mean, I feel like a human waste. And, you know, I was helping the military actually with, you know, helping the military with all of these people, you know, that are struggling mentally and coming over from war and the transitions they have. And I said, you know, the thing that helped me the most was when one day on a couch I call it a toxic locker room. I was pointing fingers, casting blame, making excuses. Could not have felt worse about for myself because I had nothing. My purpose was gone. My career is over. I did realize I had a responsibility though. Like if I needed to move on and I needed to accept the call, all the people who are calling me or reach out to somebody that may be able to help me. And once I started to do that, then things started to change around for me. And I tried to help them understand, like within mental health, you know, you can create the best plan in the world. You can have all the great resources to help somebody. But if they're not investing in the process, there's nothing you can do for them.
Sure.
There's nothing nobody could do for me until I finally got engaged in the process. And really, once I started, I go back to, okay, these words again. I was laying on the couch just going, okay, you have responsibility in this.
Yeah.
You know, accept the call. One of the calls that actually that I returned was Lynn Swan. Lynn Swan called me, and he knew I was interested in broadcasting. They were doing a game in Champaign, Illinois, Michigan, Illinois, and it was him, Keith Jackson, and Greasy. Yeah, that was the number one crew in wow. college football, and he had me come spend the day with him. That's and cool. You know, just those kind of things helped me get going. But until I found that I had responsibility in it, I'd probably still be lying on the couch, yeah. And I don't know where I'd been, but it was a hard way. That's why when I asked, you know, where you are with your career, you're at peace, mm-hmm. you know, and I'm like, I wasn't at peace. I struggled for years.
Yeah,
I mean, the worst time would be about, and then I get a job with ESPN and I go cover what I'm now. Now I'm like, and Super Bowls would really kill me, and then I had to be at the Super Bowl for 2 weeks.
Yeah,
and it was
that's
just
all you wanted. Yeah.
But
well, we're glad you got the couch because you can be here with us.
I know.
And we're glad you're alive. It's a crazy story, man, and a crazy football career. And anything, do we need any other thank yous? Thanks to Evan.
Evan, man
the food was awesome. Amazing. That was just for you, by the way. We literally have not done anything like this.
Yeah. Well, that was cool.
Yeah, every time I'm over here, dog, he's just giving me cucumbers and what
carrot sticks.
Cantaloupe.
Oh, no, cantaloupe was good.
Cantaloupe's good.
He's going to take some. Hey, take the jalapenos home with you, too,
buddy. Oh, I will definitely do that. Cantaloupe was really good. Yeah.
And, yeah.
Good luck to you guys, too,
Creekside,
man.
Thanks for the beer.
I like this style.
Thank you.
This will be entertaining.
We'll have you back on sometime.
Yeah, we'll do it.
Once we're like, once we blow up and we have all these sponsors. And
as soon as someone smiles. As soon as we can afford
it. And we actually have to go to commercial break, legitimately.
Yeah, legit commercial break.
You only have a minute and let's go back.
So,
yeah. Right, beyond again, that, yeah, 412 Strip District Meats is the name.
Thank you guys for all that.
It's been awesome.
It's delicious.
Again, if you haven't already, go ahead and follow Footballin' with Ben on Instagram. We drop beer lists that you guys can sample along with us. We do exclusive content clips and updates, so make sure you guys stay plugged in with that. Thank you guys again for tuning in. We appreciate you, Merrill. Can't say it enough, man. I would sit here and talk with you for another 4 hours.
For sure.
I feel like you have the stories, even today at the game, have been awesome. So, yeah, make sure you guys stay plugged in. Go check out Merrill if you have not already. He's got 2 books out. You have a chance to win that. More information on that will be coming here soon. Other than that, we appreciate you. We thank you. And we will see you guys next time.
Signing off.